This is episode 99 on September 26, 2014.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography all the time. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I am Matt Hoffman.
And I'm pretty sure we don't talk about iPhone photography all the time. I think we need to change that
up.
I've been saying that too long.
Yeah. Well,
I'm Mark Sadowski.
And with us is Maud Byrne, who is not watching the chat room because for some reason we could not get a live feed on. So how are you guys doing? It's been a couple weeks. We haven't talked.
I miss you.
Oh, thanks. I miss you too. Last week,
that's my bad. The recording, everything was a little hard to do. I was finishing up a wedding that Friday evening, and Thursday just wouldn't work for us. And so, but it gave us time to play around with new stuff.
Yes. Yeah. During this period off, a few things have happened. New iPhones came out, but our big subject for today is going to be iOS 8, which was placed in our laps a week ago. So let's go ahead and get into it.
Well, the big thing is not necessarily iOS 8, although that is big on, you know, the grand scheme of things. But in particular for us, it's the manual features that the new camera provides, as well as the new API stuff that the photo apps provide. I think that's the biggest thing that we have been having a grand time with. And that's some, I don't even know where we could begin with that one.
Well, okay, let's go ahead and start with just the camera features. Let's talk about one of the little problems that you had this week with the camera roll. Go ahead and mention that real quick before we get into the camera functions.
Okay, so this is kind of like a minor inconvenience in the grand scheme of things, but we no longer have a camera roll. Instead, we have a little thing called recent images, which functions pretty much like the camera roll. But say you're going into Snapseed and you scroll to some previous photos that you took maybe earlier in the week and decided to edit that. What would happen if you had the regular camera roll in iOS 7 and before that was you'd make the edits, you'd save it to your camera roll, and it would then show up as the most recent image.
Yes.
That still happens until you go into something like Instagram when you're ready to share it. When you go into Instagram and you're about to share it, that edit that you made that should be the first and foremost picture that you're about to share is now buried back with the
original,
back in the same the original location, because it's using the same metadata for it.
It's not like the edit is after the original photo. They place it before the original photo, which I don't understand.
I don't know
why they do that.
But anyway, it's an inconvenience, and the only way that I have to fix that, and I'm going to do a video on this later next week, is basically to create a new folder that you just dump all your newly edited photos into. That's the easiest way to do that. But again, I'll go into more detail at a later time. This is just the too long didn't read version of the issue.
Yeah, I try to think of why they would do something like that. Trying to understand the method of the madness, it just kind of escapes my mind.
But. Well, this is actually pretty common with Apple. They will release something that's really, really awesome. Now, all right, the best analogy I have is, everybody's seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, right? The original one?
Yep.
Where all the kids are waiting at the door and suddenly it opens and all of a sudden you see this beautiful wonderland full of candy. And, you know, you have that song that he starts playing and everybody's staring in wonder. Imagine that's the new iOS and all the great devices that Tim Cook announced. And then right as you're about to take your first bite of candy, Tim Cook comes over and squirts a little lemon juice in your eye. And he'll say, "Remember, I'm in charge." And then lets you finish your candy. That's what's happening here.
That's a very interesting analogy. Oh, all right. Well, let's go ahead and talk about the features to the camera that we're now able to do. Let's
jump to Matt on this one because yes. Matt, you schooled me in something.
Okay.
That little feature with the edits and all that jazz.
Gotcha. As far as the camera goes, I actually really haven't used it too much. But what Mark was talking about is the ability to add extensions within the Photos app, which is it's a pretty cool little feature that I'm really digging, and it'll probably get me using the photo app a little bit more for more than just looking at my pictures. So basically, what this does is it gives you the ability to go into certain third-party editing apps from within your Photos app. So what you would do is you would go into the Photos app and select a photo that you want to edit. And then once you're in the edit screen, up in the top left corner of the screen, you'll notice a circle with three little dots in it. So you click on that circle and you'll get a screen that pops up that I believe says more. I'm a little past that point right now, so mine doesn't say that.
No, that's what it says.
So you click on the word more, and depending on whether or not you have any apps that have this extension capability, you'll see a list of apps that you can toggle on or off. And if you toggle those apps on, when you go back into your edit screen and hit that little button with the three dots in it again, basically those app icons will pop up across the bottom of your screen. And for instance, on my phone right now, I have four apps that I could go into. I could go into Camera Plus, Square Ready, Lightly, or Fragment. So let's say I want to go into Lightly. So I click on the Lightly button and it loads my photo right into Lightly. And then I could scroll through all the film effects or whatever and apply a film effect. And then once I'm done in that app, there's a button at the top to click that says done. And it applies the effect and puts me right back in the edit screen in the Photos app.
That is cool.
So it is cool. Now, here's one thing to keep in mind with this that I found out the hard way, and I should have known better just from being in the digital photography world for a number of years now. When you do it this way, you are editing your original picture.
Oh. So,
okay. So you really need to make sure you like the edit that you're doing. The difference here is it's not really the old way because you could still edit like you've always edited where you open an app and then go into your camera roll and pick the picture and have that picture loaded into your app. You make your edits, you save it, and it's saved as a new copy within your camera roll, right?
Right.
So by using these extensions, you're not saving a copy. You are editing that original picture.
Ah, yes.
So I found that out the hard way. I started messing around in Camera Plus with a photo that I really liked, and I found this effect in Camera Plus that was really over the top, but I liked the effect. But I thought, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll just apply this effect, and then I'll take the original picture and the picture with the effect, and I'll load it into Blender, and I'll just blend the two together to tone down the effect. And nope, I edited the original image, so there is no unedited version that I could go back to.
Yeah. You know how you can get around that is just go into Snapseed and save a new don't make any edits, just go ahead and save it and create the new photo, so you'll have the original and a copy.
Yeah, but then you may as well just go into your third-party app and do your editing. So, but in any case, it's still cool, and it's something that I'm sure will be expanded upon, you know, as time goes on. I'm sure this is just the beginning, you know, of this right. capability. So I do think it's pretty neat, and I'm sure there will be more and more apps that will add this capability. In fact, if you go into iTunes and go into the App Store right now, they actually do have a list. Basically, there's one of the buttons in the App Store is called Extend Your Apps. And when you click on that and you scroll down to Photo Editing and Filters, all the apps that are listed there have that extensions function. Nice. So if you either download one of those apps or do an update on one of those apps, if you've already have them, when you go in your Photos app, you'll find that you could toggle that app on, so you could, you know, go directly into that from your Photos app.
Nice. Now, where was that again? Where was the Extend Your Apps?
It's just go in the App Store.
Uh-huh.
And it's right on the home page. You gotta, I seen it across the top where they have like those alternating
big
screens. Yeah, yeah, those banners. It doesn't look like it's there now, but if you scroll down below best new apps, they have some more banners, and it's in there.
Oh, okay, good. And so, what about you, Mark? Did you try this yet?
I tried it as soon as Matt told me about it. Tried it right before the show, and that is pretty cool. I am definitely going to take advantage of that more.
How many apps do you have that you can do the extensions?
I had a total of 5, I think.
Okay. I had 2. Just Camera Plus and Square Ready Pro.
There is the thing that I was looking forward to the most is the manual functions. And it's kind of funny because on the one hand, we were all excited about it, and then we kind of all stopped and said, is this what we really think it is?
Yeah.
What was it? We thought it was either going to be actual manual functions, but we were going to be kind of let down by it.
Yep.
Or it was going to be something along the lines of a little bit more control, but it's not going to be manual functions, and we're going to be kind of let down by it.
I think I was the one that was like, this, I don't think it's going to be anything like what we think it's going to be.
Well, we were kind of all in the middle.
But I ended up being wrong, because I like the manual control that they gave us, especially with the native app.
Well, the native app has the exposure compensation. You can, once you focus on a photo, you can then see a little icon of a sun appear, and then you can move that up or down, and you can make your exposure brighter or you can make it darker. And this is true exposure. This is true EV settings, because it's not just making the image light or dark. It's actually adjusting the actual exposure, which is awesome. That is a great feature to have, and it'll also work for the video as well.
That is a good feature.
Yeah. What I'm disappointed in is everything else.
Well, okay. The parts
let me just explain.
Disappointed in. Tell us which ones.
The adjusting the shutter isn't what I thought it was going to be. Because no app seems to have that straight. Apparently, the iPhone is only limited to like the lowest exposure. Oh, not exposure. The longest you could keep the shutter open is a half a second.
In Camera Plus, you could do a full second.
Can you? Why can't I do that?
I don't know. You haven't tried hard enough.
Apparently. Well, that's the thing. I haven't been able to get anything consistent out of a lot of these apps. Like some of them, were, you know, the ISO can only go up to 500. Meanwhile, Camera Plus was able to go up to 2,000 for me. It's not the easiest thing to do, especially with the, you know, you're talking about your screen, you're flipping dials, and it's not as fun as it is with a camera. I think some things were meant to be left alone.
Yeah. Or at least, you know, this is a good start.
This is a start. Everybody was in a rush to be the first ones to have manual controls. And I think out of all the apps that we have, I mean, God, I went through and went crazy with there's another version of Camera Plus that's not made by the Tap 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 people that made the original Camera Plus. This is a different Camera Plus, which stinks. I don't like it.
It's the one where the word plus is spelled out, right?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that one. I think it's cheap that they called it Camera Plus, and but that's just my personal opinion. People might love it. Great. There's another app called CamU that
came out.
You want
them to call it Camera Minus?
Camera Multiply? I don't know. Think of something original. That's all I'm asking for. There's ProCam, ViscoCam, and then there's the one that everybody's been raving about, a camera app called Manual. Which I got to say, I wasn't very impressed with Manual. The only one that I've been impressed with was the original Camera Plus. That one seems to do it properly, seems to do it as intuitively as it can be on a screen like this. It just has the better results. And let's just say I'm not going to be photographing long exposure waterfalls with the iPhone anytime soon until I can, I don't know, maybe there's something I'm missing. But it's okay. I got time.
I can't wait for the Jagger guys to update their apps.
That is something that I'm looking forward to the most. And you know they're crazy hard at work at doing something.
They're waiting to do it right and not throwing something out there.
Right. Well, the Camera Plus people made something good. I can't say that they rushed it.
Now, the Camera Plus app is super cool. Have you checked out the macro function?
I have not yet. I've just been so busy with playing around with the shutter speeds, the ISO, and the exposures that I haven't tried the macro.
I do like the new feature of being able to choose your focus.
Yes, that is pretty cool.
You mean focus and exposure separately?
Yeah, but I mean, you can toggle the focus to go either really close up or you know, having full depth of field.
Yeah. That's really cool. And I'm tempted to try that in video if there's something that's available for that.
I think I tried, but I don't know if there's an actual... I haven't tried all the apps, but the ones I did try, I think I tried Camera Plus, and I don't think it applied to Camera Plus.
No, Camera Plus doesn't have video.
No. And then the native app was not responsive with... I don't think you can do the focus yet.
No.
On the native app.
The native app, all it has is the only thing it added was the exposure.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good. Yeah, I'm really happy with what Camera Plus has. Again, it's still early on. There's just so much that I want to test this out on that I haven't had time to do. Like the best I've had was photographing the kids and photographing some landscapes, because I'm also testing out the wide angle and telephoto moment lenses. And so I mean, just everything's dropping at the same time, and I want to give the moment lens its undivided attention to it, because that's been really, really fun so far. And just so much has been dropping lately that it's kind of like that Candyland analogy that I said a few minutes ago. But okay, so we have the manual functions. Do you guys? I think we're kind of all in agreement that Camera Plus has been the best at handling the way in which you handle the manual.
Yeah, so far
functions. How about you, Matt?
Well, there's still so many apps to play with. I am impressed with Camera Plus. There's another app that I need to spend a little bit more time with, but I do think that they're doing some pretty cool things also, and that is I think now it's called Pro Camera 8.
Uh-huh.
Or it's Pro Camera, but I think it's version 8. And they have all the manual functions as well. And the thing that I like, I think the manual, pseudo manual function that I like the best on any of these apps is exposure compensation. That's the yes. one that I could see using the most, because mostly because it's the quickest and simplest.
Mm-hmm.
I just, when it comes down to this manual control, first of all, I really need to like find like a some sort of subject where I could just take like a series of pictures at the different ISOs yes. and see if it really makes a difference, like in the image quality.
Yeah.
Right? From the iPhone, because like we haven't had that ability before, so I don't know. You know, I don't know. Like theoretically, when I was just in Camera Plus,
yeah.
I noticed it could go down to ISO 64,
mm-hmm.
and I could only get it to go up to ISO 640. You said you could get it to go up to 2000, but I couldn't get it past 640. In any case, there should be a world of difference in the noise level and like the grain or whatever, but well, it would be noise, but between 64 and 640.
Yeah.
You know, just because it's amplifying the signal so much between 64 to 640. So I just want to see if it's, you know, if it really is making a difference. But I just can't imagine like spending the time to mess around with these controls, when really I think the way that we've had it all along with, you know, touch to focus, touch for exposure, I don't see how it actually can get better than that, because to me, that's the ultimate manual control.
Yeah.
You know, you're touching exactly on the picture where you want it to focus. You're touching exactly on the picture where you want it to be exposed properly. How does it get better than that? You know, I almost feel like, in a way, these manual controls that we've been clamoring for are a step backwards.
Yeah, it's not. By the way, ISO 2000 is really horrible. I totally agree with you. I think, and I think that's why the native app only has the exposure compensation.
Yeah,
because that's the only one that I feel is any use.
Well, I took one of the apps and increased the ISO and then decreased the exposure, and the I hate to call it grain, but you know how
noise.
It looks like, yeah, the noise is just bouncing all over the place in an image. It was really bad.
Yeah.
So you're right. You know, increasing the ISO, I don't think is beneficial. Unless, I don't know. See, I haven't tried it in every single situation, but I think I need to try some night photography and see if there's anything worth saving.
Well, no, here's what it comes down to. And I think real professionals who have been using the iPhone will realize that, you know, these are cameras, but they're not DSLRs. There is a difference between a full frame sensor, APS-C sensor, and an iPhone sensor. They don't work the same way. And I think, we've been told this before. God knows how many times that, you know, they just won't work the same. And now that we have these controls, we can see for ourselves that it just not that great.
Right now.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how much, if you can improve the ISO bit, or if you can improve the, the shutter bit, because they are what they are. I probably won't be using it too much more. I think I'll go through this initial month of testing, and then I'm just going to go back to just the old ways and have the exposure composition under my belt too. Matt, I am surprised that I haven't seen an HDR from you yet with that exposure bit.
Like a manually done HDR?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Vivid HDR is just awesome. You know, I'm like 95% sure Vivid HDR is doing a 3 exposure HDR instead of 2 like the other apps. And I actually might do a little switcheroo on my little bottom row of icons where I have Vivid HDR for easy access.
Nice.
Right? But I actually might switch that out to Pro Camera. And the reason for that is that they have teamed up with Vivid HDR. So I can do Vivid HDR photos from right within the Pro Camera app.
Nice.
Which is super cool. And I could still adjust the exposure compensation while doing HDR. So just give me some time. I'll bring it.
Nice.
And which Pro Camera? It looks like they are...
This is Pro Camera 8.
Okay.
Oops. Sorry.
Is it one word? Oh, okay. I found it. Oh, $399. Nice.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's a pretty full featured app. I mean, you could shoot video with it. It has the HDR mode, the night photography mode. For whatever reason, it's got a QR scanner mode. I'm not sure why. It seems kind of weird, but. it's a nice app, though.
So, we've all been pretty busy with our real life stuff. Is there anything that you want to do to test out these new manual features? Like, what do you think is going to be your ultimate test for these new apps or the newly refurbished apps?
Start with you, Matt.
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I still think that I want to do what I was talking about earlier, where to see if these controls, particularly ISO, if they really make a difference, or if it's just numbers on the screen that are changing, making you think you're doing something when you're really not.
Yeah. I would say if I can get a decent waterfall shot out of it, that nice long exposure, although long being a relative term for the iPhone, if I could get the effect that I want, then I'll be happy.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you had commented not too long ago, just a few weeks ago, about some of your photos of waterfalls with your phone where the water looked, I think you put it like
crimped hair from the 80s.
Crimped hair from the 80s. And I said that I didn't see that, but I was actually looking at pictures you took with your Fuji, so of course I didn't see that. But I know exactly what you're talking about. And, you know, that's just a byproduct of the way the slow shutter apps work up until now. So that's actually one of the first things I want to do, too, is use that full second shutter speed and see, on moving water, what does that look like now?
Yeah.
And you know, I know that, you know, for the slow shutter stuff, like pretty much I think I could speak for you, but our favorite app is Slow Shutter Cam.
Yeah.
And they just had
a side-by-side comparison.
They just had some kind of minor update like yesterday or today, but in the notes for that update, they teased that they have a major update coming out very soon. So I'm sure they're going to be tapping into this manual control, and it's going to be really exciting to see what kind of shutter speeds they're going to allow us to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so hard to keep up with these apps. Like, they're just all popping up left and right, and it's going to be amazing. I mean, same with the HDR. I mean, just to think what they're going to do with that, with the manual focus.
Well, I think for us, because we talk about this on the podcast all the time and we're trying to tell the world about all this stuff, we have just an insane amount of apps.
Yeah.
Or at least I know I do. So I'm thinking I'm probably not going to do this on my current phone, but I probably very soon will get a 6 or a 6 Plus, and I'm probably not going to put like every app that I have on it. I'm probably going to start off like really pared down with like the apps that I would consider like the essentials.
Yeah.
And the apps that like I know I'm going to use often, and really get a feel for, you know, these updates on just like a handful of apps, and then slowly build back to chaos again.
Yeah. So you're definitely getting the Plus, right? The 6 Plus?
I'm not going to say definitely, but I am.
He still has to put them in his hand.
I'm pretty much leaning that way, though. I really can't imagine why I wouldn't get it.
I didn't buy anything yet, but I did go to the Apple store just to feel them out. And the 4.7 feels good in the hands. The 6 Plus, beautiful screen, nice big wide screen. Kind of not the best for photos. It's stretching it. Here's my problem. The photo is so thin and so light that I have an insane phobia of dropping my phone, especially if I'm doing something like in the woods and there seems to be like a 20-foot drop right in front of you, and holding out that camera, I'm not very brave with that. And I could feel that I could easily drop this phone, especially because this nice brushed aluminum.
Wait, say that again. You broke up.
I did?
Yeah.
With who?
On his end, you did.
Oh, okay. Did I break up?
He just wanted you to say it again.
Where did I lose you?
Aluminium.
You were getting ready to take a picture and you felt like...
Oh, I just felt like I was going to constantly drop it. Oh. There's some weight to it. It feels solid, but when I'm holding it in the camera position, you know, with my finger on the plus button to take the shutter shot, it just feels like... it's so thin. Like, I just don't feel like I'm going to hold on to it. I feel like one person's going to bump into me, and that's going to be enough to knock it out of my hands.
Now, are you talking about – I've kind of lost track of here. Are you talking about just the iPhone 6 in general or one of the two specific models?
The 6 Plus, because my hands have to be – I have to stretch my hands wider.
He's afraid it's going to get knocked out of his hand and slide down a storm drain.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, but there's a good reason to get a bigger one. It's less likely to fit in the storm drain.
I'm going to use it as a raft.
If it goes down wide side first, yes, you can jump on, hop on, and ride that raft and go to the land of the lost.
Well, my plan is to get a case that makes it thicker than it is wide.
Nice. Call it the block.
The eye block. The
eye brick.
Eye brick, yeah. I think what I'll
Apple brick.
Apple brick, yes. You know, I think the scenario I want to do is I want to do some car photography and, you know, see how much motion I can get, say, from, like, when I have a parked car, but I have traffic behind it.
Yeah.
Sort of like the waterfalls, but not really.
I hear you.
But this, you know, see what I, what type of, you know, motion I can get out of that.
That'd be cool.
Or even getting a vehicle in motion. When I did a photography class, we had to take pictures of either cars or anything that was in motion. And so the key is to try to get your subject in focus, but everything from the road, the trees, other vehicles around it had to be blurry.
Right. Yeah, I heard about the class because you said your instructor said this.
But first, let me take a selfie.
Don't know where she got the music.
And then we'll walk into the lab and develop the photos.
Yeah. Now my joke isn't so funny anymore. So anyway, that's my only fear, I should say. They're both gorgeous phones. And from what I understand, camera-wise, they're not that much different from one another. They're both taking the same photos. The optical image stabilizer makes a little bit of a difference, but it's not a deal breaker. It shouldn't be a deal breaker for anybody who wants the 4.7.
Cool. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the other things, too. I was like, well, I need to have the better camera or no one will respect me.
Matt, I will always respect you.
That means a lot.
All right. Well, is there anything else about iOS 8 you guys want to bring up?
Not yet. There's still so much to kind of play around with. I mean, there's a lot that I want to put on the website. One of the new features that we're going to be doing is a little feature on how we edited our photos. That seems to be popular on our Facebook feed, and we decided to make it a full-fledged feature and put it on tinyshutter.com. So that's in the works. I definitely want to do some tutorial videos on some of the edits that we make. So anything that we're putting on tinyshutter.com, I also want to do a video version of it and put that on our YouTube channel that we never, ever use anymore.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that we're going to be doing with iOS 8 and then some. The only thing I want to add is that I'm going to wait on buying a new iPhone. One, because I'm still under contract for one more year. And two, I want to see what the new iPads come out with.
Oh, that's right. Do you know when announcement will be?
The rumor is October, like the 20th-ish.
Okay.
Like around that time frame, like give or take a few days. But there's talk of new iPads, new Mac Minis, and MacBook Airs and all that jazz.
Nice.
So there's a lot that's happening, and I might stick around with my iPhone 5S and just get a new iPad.
There you go.
Yeah.
Have you encountered any issues with the amount of space that the iPhone iOS 8 takes up? Photographer related, but I was reading that it takes up a lot more space.
Well, I think my biggest issue is not space, it's the battery drain. For some reason, I think my battery's draining faster.
I'm not encountering the battery drain anymore on my end.
iOS 8 let you see battery drain on a per app basis now?
Yeah.
Right. If you're going to do a true battery test, 1 or 2 days after updating is not going to really give you a good idea. I would imagine probably a month out will give you a good idea of what's draining your battery the fastest. But
yeah.
Did you guys update to 8.02?
Nope. Not yet.
No.
I have. So I'm hoping that, you know,
is it safe?
Well, apparently one was not, but I did it last night. No, two nights ago. No, I updated it this morning and it's worked fine. No problems on both my phones.
All right, I got to ask, as far as battery usage, what's taking up the most battery life?
For me, it's mail. My mailbox.
For me, it's Waze.
Oh, because of traffic?
Yeah, I'm in traffic long enough. That thing sucks it up good. It's followed up quickly by a game called Bicolor, which is a really addictive game. Anybody who's out there should check that out. It's a great puzzle game.
For me, it's Facebook.
I deleted Facebook.
Me too.
Well, I like to keep in touch with people.
I still use Facebook. I just use the web version.
Well, I'm just a very nosy person, and I want to know what's going on in people's lives.
No, I still use it. The app was just really draining on my phone. Wow. So I decided to use it differently.
I found the Facebook app to be super slow and annoying as hell. I dumped it. I only use it on, not that I get on Facebook all that much because I don't like people. I'm not at all nosy.
Actually, mail was, okay, as of last week, mail was the one, but it has now been surpassed by the podcast app.
Oh, geez. I'm so annoyed that that's back on the phone.
I've actually been using it again.
I unsubscribed from all the podcasts I listen to in the podcast app, or on iTunes, rather.
Nice.
Now, I use it religiously. That's the one I use all day long.
Well, I have an app I like better. So if I have the podcast app also downloading the podcast, it's just redundant.
Oh, yeah. Really?
That makes sense.
Then you can listen to it in stereo.
I did consider that.
All right.
Stereo means nothing to me. I only have one ear.
Well, are we done with iOS 8?
I think so. I think we can move on.
All right. Let's go ahead and move into focus point.
Oh, do I even have focus? Oh, here we go.
Focus point.
All right. And this week it is Matt's turn.
Oh, wait. Are we talking about focus point? Let's pick a blank.
I'm sorry. Ah. I missed that. I did mess that up. Yeah, we're going to actually, let's go ahead and do focus point. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay. I wasn't planning to do a focus point, so I didn't think we were doing that anymore.
Well, let me go then.
But I got one. Okay, cool.
That'll give you time to think of something.
To not have one.
Yeah. Okay. I've been using a new app called Alt Photo, A-L-T space photo. And Fuji came out with updates to their camera line at Photokina, which I've been massively drooling over. But more importantly, they've also added some features to their cameras. Fuji has this film replicating thing, almost kind of like a filter. I don't want to call it a filter because I just don't. That seems dirty. But they basically mimic the old films like Velvia and all that fun stuff. And they created something kind of along the same line as Kodachrome, but they're calling it Classic Chrome. Well, that gave me an itch to go back and do some Kodachrome stuff. But since I don't have film anymore, I decided to see if I could find it on the iPhone. And Alt Photo was the only one that I feel does Kodachrome properly. Basically, you can bring in photos into it, or you could take photos with it. It's a camera as well as a photo editor. But it basically lets you turn your photos into old vintage stuff. I've only been using it for Kodachrome. I really could care less about anything else. So this has been my Kodachrome app. You have all sorts of black and white options, vintage colors, color films. But for me, it's all Kodachrome. And then once you add the desired old effect, you can adjust the intensity of it. You can adjust the whether you want borders or not. You can you have a lot of leeway in as to how vintage you want to make your photos. And I've already posted some on my Instagram account. Just look under hashtag Tiny Shutter to see some of them, or just go to my profile, That Polish Photographer.
Awesome.
Cool. Which Polish photographer?
Nah.
That Polish Photographer. Oh, I'm next
one.
Yeah, I'm next to that girl.
Okay.
Ask your parents, kids.
All right, Matt.
All right. I wasn't planning to talk about this right now, but I have a little doodad accessory thing that I recently got, and it's actually a charger. It's a little device called the Linear Flux Lithium Card, and what I like about it, it's what they call a hypercharger, and it's basically like a small little charger. It's about the size of a credit card. It's 5.5 millimeters thick, so it's not as thin as a credit card, but it's still pretty thin. You know, it's thinner than those fancy new iPhones we just spent a ton of time talking about. And basically what it is, it's got on the one end of it, it has a USB male connection that flips out so you can plug it into your computer or whatever to actually charge the card. And then you know, once that has a full charge or whatever, when you need to use it, you can flip out, in my case, since I have an iPhone, you flip out a little lightning connector and just plug it into the phone, and it's got a little power button you turn on, and I would say within about 30 to 40 minutes, it adds like 40 to 50% charge to your phone.
Nice.
So it doesn't do a full charge. It just doesn't have that kind of capacity to do that. But it, what it can do is just charge, you know, really fast. And being that it's thin, it's easy to keep this in your pocket. They say you could put it in your wallet. I think it's a little too thick for a wallet. But, you know, it's just a thin little doodad. And they do include this little – it's I don't know. It's like this sticky rubber pad. It doesn't have any glue on it. It's just something they call the nano stick. And you basically could just use that to stick this right onto the back of your phone. And it's, you know, it's real easy to take on and off or whatever.
Oh, good.
So like I've just been sticking the two together and putting it in my pocket. So like, I don't know, it seems lately every day around like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm down to like 25% battery on my phone. So I've just been whipping out the little lightning connector and plugging this thing in, and you know, by 3:45 or whatever, I'm back up to like 80%.
Nice.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. You can go to linearflux.com. We'll have a link to it in the show notes, and you could purchase them right from their website. And you could get it like at B&H and Amazon. They even say it's available at Walmart too, which is interesting to me.
Huh.
But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Cool. Very good. All right. I am going to go. Okay. I'm going to pull from the well. But I don't know if I've actually. I've talked about this with charging, but I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to go with the OtterBox. If you have an inclination that you might start bending your iPhone, I highly recommend getting an OtterBox. It's durable. It'll help protect you from, you know, dings, scratches, breaking of glass, anything, you know, short of a truck rolling over it. But I think in the news we've been just seeing too much of people, quote unquote, bending their phones. And so I think I'm going to go with the OtterBox.
Sweet. Hey, speaking of batteries, have you guys been noticing that ever since iOS 8, your iPhone charges a little bit slower?
No, because I'm usually charging it at night.
Oh, okay.
And I'm asleep.
It's probably just me.
Wow, that's a nice train.
Yeah, that is incredibly loud. Wow, that's, I'm sorry.
That's cool.
I didn't think you guys could hear that. Wow.
Well, that's like a mile from my house right now.
Wait, is that on your side or is that my side?
Yeah, there's a train tracks about a mile from my house that are unfortunately active during podcasting time.
You know, I have the same issue. I'm like less than a mile from the commuter rail as well as the freight trains.
Aren't trains the best?
They are. If you're ever going through North Carolina, there's the North Carolina Transportation Museum that is an old train depot, and they've got one of those roundhouses where they can move the engines from one bay to another and it spins and all that fun stuff. Really cool.
You can also listen to the Tiny Chugger podcast where they talk about trains all the time.
My son would like that.
Yeah.
And my son would like that too, actually.
Yeah. And it's a photographer's dream. So, a lot of fun stuff over there.
Sweet.
Cool.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wind this down. Matt, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you?
I can be found on Instagram and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Excellent. Mark.
I am on Twitter. I am mostly Marcus over there, and I am that Polish photographer on Instagram.
And you can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. Also, you can find our show on Instagram at Tiny Shutter Podcast. And if you would like to contribute to the show by submitting your photos, we have the hashtag Tiny Shutter. And we typically will go through and pick a post pick of the week from the hashtag Tiny Shutter group and feature that on our as our album art. If you want your image to be seen by others and you know, join a fun community, go ahead and hashtag your photos Tiny Shutter, and hopefully, and maybe one of them will be chosen for post pick of the week. So,
and just one more thing, I wanted to throw it out to the community. If you're interested in doing a little write up on a favorite app of yours, or doing a photo edit, or kind of breaking it down, send us an email message. Go to tinyshutter.com and email us, or just leave a comment in the show notes, and I'll give you guys a contact, and we could take it from there. But I'd like to open up the site since we have it. We've been, all it's been is our podcast feed, and I want to see what we can, what else we can do with it.
Very good.
Cool.
All right, Mark, lead us out.
All righty. I guess we got to do the mischievous ending here.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
I think that's going to be a common from now on.
I think I got kicked tonight.
That's okay. We are all feeling it. Anyway, that's it.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Let me flash. The Fleming Flasher.